All right, we're carrying on from last Sunday morning, and I began last Sunday morning to teach a little bit about the miraculous. And I believe God is wanting us to experience, you know, his miracles more and more in our lives. And we looked just very briefly about miracles and character, and we showed the importance. Of character. And in Matthew 7 and verse 20, you know, some people major on character, and that is, we major on character, and that is vitally important. You know, others major on miracles, but without character, and, you know, that's going to cause us to crash completely. And Jesus, he makes that very clear in Matthew's Gospel and in chapter 7. Matthew's Gospel in chapter 7 at the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus speaks and he says, familiar scriptures, and in verse 21, 22, 23, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." And then Jesus says, he says, many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils, demons? And in thy name done many wonderful works?" In other words, they had done works and they'd done miracles. But then the reply of Jesus was in verse 23, "Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." So, and Jesus said very clearly, when we're judging a ministry or we're judging a person, we don't judge by how well somebody preaches or how well somebody sings or how many miracles somebody does. We don't judge a person by those things. We judge a person by their life. We judge them by their character. And that's why Jesus very clearly says in the previous verse, in verse 20, Jesus says, by their fruits ye shall know them, by the fruit of the Spirit dwelling in our life, by the likeness of Christ in our life, by the character of Jesus, which is being perfected in our lives. And so that is so important that each of us, you know, we major on character and we continue to major on character. And we can, because all of us, we're all on a journey and we all want to be made more like Jesus. We all want to have, you know, our character like the character of Jesus. We want to be those who there's honesty, integrity, purity, holiness, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness, self-control. We want, you know, these beautiful aspects of character continually worked out in our lives. And so it is very clear when we think of character in relationship to miracles, obviously, character is the important thing that we must major on. And Pastor Bailey often used to say he was seeking to save the saved. In other words, those who are, you know, professing Christ, that they, you know, go on in the Lord and grow in godly character and the ways of God. One of the testimonies of those seven Colombian youth who a number of years ago went down into hell. And they gave this testimony of when they went down into hell. And it was basically speaking about those who were used in ministry, but then character had not been developed in their lives, and they were living a, you know, they were one person in church, and there was somebody else at home and living a double life. And when Jesus took these Colombian youth, they came to the most terrible section of hell where the worst torments happen. It was right at the center of hell. And it says, there we saw the most concentrated form of torments, such torments that a human being could never express them. And the only people here were those who knew Jesus and had known in the past, they had known the Word of God. And among these people in the very worst part of hell, in the center of hell, among them were pastors, were evangelists, and were missionaries. And all types of people who heard, who had once accepted Jesus and knew the truth, but then had not lived a life, had lived a double life, had lived in sin, had lived in deception, had lived in theft, had lived in greed, had lived in envy, had lived in immorality. And they were the ones who were there. So it is very important. When you think of character, we think of miracles. Obviously, you know, character is the all-important thing which all of us must major on, and we must continue to major on it until, you know, right until the end of our lives as we seek to be conformed more and more to His image. And another thing in relationship to miracles, you know, many people, well, certain people, even though there are miracles, they still will not believe. And the reason for that is that sin has hardened their hearts. And sin has hardened their hearts. Sin has turned their hearts away from God. And so miracles don't necessarily change people's lives. Pharaoh, in the time of Moses, you know, he saw many incredible miracles. He saw many incredible miracles. And God sent the plagues, those plagues upon Egypt. You know, the waters turned into blood, the waters of the River Nile. Frogs came upon the land. Lice came all over the land. Judgment of God came on the cattle. Boils and hail and multitude of locusts came and destroyed everything. And he saw the power of God. He saw the miracles. But Pharaoh, he would not believe. He hardened his heart. He hardened his heart, and he did not believe in spite of those miracles. And he had to acknowledge them. And it was the same with the children of Israel. And in Psalm 78, when it speaks of the children of Israel, Psalm 78, we get somewhat of a history of the children of Israel. And they are described, God describes the children of Israel as a stubborn generation, or as a stubborn and rebellious generation. And in verse 8, Psalm 78, in verse 8, it says, "And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation." What a terrible thing. And yet they had seen, you know, the power of God, and they saw many miracles. In verse 14, it says, "In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire." I mean, that was a miracle for 40 years. Imagine that, being led by a cloud by day and that cloud turning into a pillar of fire by night and keep giving them warmth at night and guiding them and leading them. I mean, an incredible miracle. Verse 15, "He clave the rocks in the wilderness, out of the rock. He opened the rocks, split the rocks, and out came water and caused waters to run down like rivers." But what was their response? Verse 17, and they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. By provoking the Most High in the wilderness. So incredible miracles. Yet they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Lord. And then in verse 19, it tells us, yea, they spoke against God and said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Can God do a miracle? And yes, God did a miracle. And we go down to verse 27. It says, he rained flesh also upon them as dust, and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea. And so God provided. They were pleading with the Lord for quail and for meat, and God gave it to them in abundance. They had so much that, you know, it just, they soon lost their appetite and their desire for quail. Verse 32, it tells us there, for all this, all those miracles, God provided a table in the wilderness, miraculously. But after all that, they sinned, and it says, and believe not for his wondrous works. And going in verse 55 of the same chapter, it says, he cast out the heathen also before them and divided them an inheritance by line and made the tribes of Israel to dwell in their tents. And so in 55, he miraculously destroyed their enemies. But yet, verse 56, yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God and kept not his testimonies. So in spite of the miracles, many of them had unbelief in their heart. They did not believe. When we think of King Ahab, I mean, he was one of the most wicked kings of Israel, of the northern kingdom of Israel. He lived in the time of Elijah. And he had witnessed, that heathen king, Ahab, had witnessed some, I mean, incredible miracles. I mean, Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal, and Elijah was able to call down fire from heaven. And fire came down from heaven at the word of Elijah. And the fire came down and consumed the sacrifice, which had been covered in water. And, you know, the people cried out then, you know, Jehovah, he is God, Jehovah, he is God. And all the prophets of Baal, they were slain. And King Ahab, he saw this, he witnessed this. He could not deny the incredible miracle of God. And then after 3.5 years of famine, Elijah prayed again, and he prayed for rain. And God answered Elijah's prayer, his persevering prayer. And the rain came, incredible rain came in a short space of time. And Ahab was aware of the incredible miracle that had been done. And then Elijah, he ran before the chariot of Ahab, some 25 miles or so. And he could not deny that Jehovah was the true God and not Baal. And yet, in spite of all this, the miracle of the fire, the miracle of the rain, the miracle of running before, even the chariots, which were run by the fastest horses in the land, and Elijah was able to outrun them and lead them all the way to Jezreel. And so, in spite of those outstanding miracles, because his heart was wicked, because he had hardened his heart against God, you know, he would not change. He would not change in spite of the miracles, which he could not deny. And the wicked love wickedness. The wicked, they love wickedness, and the wicked, you know, will not repent. And we see that brought out clearly too in Luke's Gospel chapter 16, and where Jesus speaks about Lazarus and the rich man. And there in Luke 16, the rich man dies, Lazarus dies. And in hell, the rich man pleads with Abraham in paradise. And he pleads with him to send Lazarus back to earth, and so that Lazarus would testify to his five brothers. But Abraham replies to him. He replies to this wicked rich man who had died, and he said, "They have Moses, they have the prophets. If one went to them from the dead, they will repent." That's what the rich man said. But Jesus replied, he said, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if one rose from the dead." And so again we see, I mean, even that outstanding miracle of the resurrection from the dead. And, you know, Jesus is very clear. They will not believe. And again, this is brought out in the book of Revelation when it's speaking about the miracles and the judgments of God that come upon the earth in the last days. And in Revelation 9, it's speaking of the second series of seven judgments. And in the sixth angel, when he sounded in Revelation 9 and verse 20, and it says, "And the rest of the men which were not killed by those plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts." And so, in the time of great tribulation, terrible judgment of fire, of smoke, of brimstone, and in that terrible plague, when that sixth angel sounded, I mean, a third of all the men on the earth were killed. And even in spite of that, the rest of the men that were not killed, they repented not. And it tells us, verse 21, they neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. And so they wouldn't break from it. They wouldn't turn from it. And really, even though there will be terrible judgments in the last days, you know, God's purpose, God is really reaching out. I mean, it's God's mercy reaching out to people that to seek to bring them to repentance. But of course, those who continue to harden their heart and don't respond, they will not repent. They harden their heart. They will not change. They will not change. And in Revelation chapter 16, it tells us there, and this is the last series of seven judgments, known as the seven vials. And the fourth angel, pours out his vial or his bowl of judgment, and that men in the world, they were scorched with great heat. It was a judgment. It was a miracle that happened. But it says again, they repented not. Revelation 16 and verse 11, they repented not and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. So when repentance is still possible, those being afflicted, even though they're afflicted greatly, they still chose to curse the Lord instead of plead for his mercy and turn and repent. So we see very clearly, number one, that when we look at character in relationship to miracles, obviously character is supreme. That is by far the most important. And also we see, secondly, that even though there be miracles, there'll be certain people, especially those who have hardened their hearts against God, who have chosen the way of sin and, you know, not going to change, like Pharaoh, in spite of miracles, they will not believe. But thirdly, there are many, and there will be many in the last days, who will believe the gospel because of miracles. And because of miracles, that can be a key in the lives of many people to give their hearts to the Lord and to turn to the Lord. And really, when we think of the scriptures, really, the scriptures is a miracle book. 66 books in the Bible. I mean, virtually every book of the Bible, there is the miraculous. There is the power of God. In the book of Acts, and many pages through the life of Jesus in the Gospels, page after page after page after page, we see the works of God. We see the hand of God. We see the miracles of God. We see, you know, we see Jesus walking on water. We see Jesus feeding the 5,000. We see Jesus stilling the storm. We see so many people being healed, so many people being delivered of evil spirits. And so the Word of God, the Bible, it's a supernatural book. It's a miracle book. There are miracles from Genesis to Revelations. And God wants us, I believe, to experience the supernatural. For the supernatural almost to become natural for us and for miracles to happen in our life. He is a God of miracles, and he wants us to know him. He is the same. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God wants us in our lives to experience him as the God of miracles, to experience the wonders of the Lord, to experience the miracles of the Lord. And, you know, and indeed, as we look to God to pour out his spirit that in revival, I mean, one of the ways that God is going to use to bring the harvest in is going to be the supernatural and miracles and the power of God. And God wants us to be ready. God wants us to be prepared. And God wants us now, you know, to know God. He is the supernatural God. He is the God of miracles. He wants us to experience his miracles in our lives. And just before Jesus, one of the last things that Jesus said, one of the last chapters, in fact, John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, were all written 24 hours before Jesus departed before Jesus was crucified on the cross. And in John 14, Jesus spoke about when he goes away. He spoke this to the disciples, and he was talking about, you know, he's going away, but he's going to come and he's going to send the Holy Spirit to them, and talking about the Holy Spirit and many other, you know, very important things. He talks about love. He talks about joy. He talks about peace. But in John 14, in verse 12, Jesus says, The things I do. And he's talking about his works, the things I do. What did Jesus do? He healed the sick. He cast out evil spirits. He cleansed the lepers. He raised the dead. He did mighty works. He stilled the storm. He said, the things that I do, you will do. And then, which is a mind-blowing statement, he says, not only the things that I do, you will do, but he says, greater things shall you do because I go to the Father. And then after Jesus has risen from the dead, you know, the last words that he says before he ascends up into heaven in Mark 16 and verse 17, he says, these signs shall follow those that believe. And he speaks about the miraculous. He speaks about in my name, they shall cast out evil spirits. They shall speak in new tongues. They shall lay hands on the sick. And people shall recover. So he speaks about the supernatural. And then the Apostle Paul. Of course, when the Apostle Paul writes to the Ephesian church, he prays for them. And he prays for this church. And they were a spirit-filled church. They'd been saved. They'd been baptized in water. They'd been filled with the Holy Spirit. They were speaking to go on for the Lord. It was a strong church. And Paul writes to them. And he prays for them. And he prays that they would experience the miraculous. They would experience themselves the power of God. And in Ephesians 1 in verse 19, it says that, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places." So he's praying for them. Verse 19, that they would know what is the exceeding greatness of his power. I mean, imagine not just the greatness of his power, but the exceeding greatness of his power. And he's praying that they would know that, they would experience that, to those who believe according to the working of his mighty power, that they would know this exceeding greatness of his power. And, you know, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So that's when he writes to the Ephesians. And then when he writes to the Philippians, he's speaking, you know, about his own life. And he writes to them and he's saying, well, his desire, and this is after, you know, seeing many miracles, after starting many churches, after doing great exploits for the Lord. But he still says, right towards the end of his life, he wants to know the Lord in a deeper way. In other words, he wants the character of the Lord to continue to be worked in his life. But then immediately following that, he said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. So he wanted not only the character of Christ, but he prayed in his own life that he would know the supernatural, that he would know the miraculous, that he would know new levels of miracles and the power of God. And, you know, God moving. And that's his prayer. And then he continues also the fellowship of his sufferings and being conformed to his death. But he's praying that he would know and experience even in greater ways that he'd already seen. And he'd already seen many wonderful miracles. He would seen the supernatural in greater levels. And you know, we see that in Acts chapter, go through the pages of the book of Acts, and there's miracle after miracle after miracle. And the Apostle Peter, he was filled with the power of God, and even in his own life, not only did he experience miracles, but he was so much in touch with the Lord that for a period of time, that even if people would walk in his shadow without even touching them, with just walking in his shadow, they would be healed. They'd be healed. The supernatural power of God was so manifest in his life. So much so that even his shadow would heal the sick. And then, of course, in Paul's life, you know, I mean, it was, you know, virtually a miracle after miracle after miracle. And in Acts chapter 19, the Apostle Paul, he speaks there of miracles, special miracles, notable miracles, special miracles, notable miracles, miracles which are, you know, not ordinary miracles, but notable miracles, special miracles. And I believe we need to pray. We need to pray that God will take us on that we will experience. We will experience the power of his resurrection. We will experience miracles. We will experience the supernatural. And that we will believe him and believe his word. And, you know, when you see a miracle, I still remember so vividly praying for one boy in El Salvador. And, you know, his one leg was shorter than the other. And then we prayed. And then right in front of my eyes, I just saw that leg grow out to the same length as the other leg. And, I mean, when you experience, you know, a miracle of God, it does something to you. It does something to you. God's power. Only God. And his power can, you know, God, I believe, you know, wants all of us to experience his miraculous power. Remember the story of Catherine Kuhlman. She wrote a book many years ago, I Believe in Miracles. I Believe in Miracles. Pastor Bailey actually met her. But that book, I Believe in Miracles, it was written in longhand, and there was only one manuscript. It was written by hand, and it got lost. She searched everywhere in the car, absolutely everywhere in her car, in the boot, in every area of it. And then she just prayed. She prayed. And she closed her eyes. And she was just sitting in the driver's seat. And she closed her eyes. And she said, Lord, I believe. When I just stretch, push my hand down, I put my hand down, that the manuscript's going to be there, and I'll pick it up. And she did that. She just lowered her hand down to the floor of the car, and the manuscript was there, and she picked it up, and it was there. I mean, it was a miracle. I mean, she'd searched everywhere. It was not there before, and it came into being. And it was a, you know, wonderful miracle of the Lord. And through her ministry, God used her in incredible miracles. But the result of that, the result of moving in the supernatural was, the result of moving in the supernatural was thousands of people got saved and came into the kingdom of God. And, you know, we're looking for increase. We're looking for the harvest to come in. And one of the ways that God is going to use is the miraculous. And as we press into the Lord, you know, that verse of Jesus when he said, you know, the things I do, you will do also. It was not just to a certain group of special people, but it was to every believer. When Jesus spoke, before he ascended up into heaven, that was not just to pastors or missionaries. No, it was to every believer. These signs shall follow them that believe. And that means each one of you, each one of you. So by the grace of God, you know, let's look to the Lord. Let's reach out to the Lord. Let's pray and press in. You know, if we don't expect, if we don't believe, nothing's going to happen. But if we're full of expectation and belief in our hearts, you know, I believe God will do great things, great things. Let's pray.